EMZT Radio is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audio download and a free 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/EMZT. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
I'm not gonna hurt you. I'm just gonna bash your brains in.
No. Be afraid. Be very afraid.
Hi, I'm Chucky. Wanna play?
Oh, no tears, please. It's a waste of good suffering.
You're staying. This isn't a democracy anymore.
This is now the United States of
EMZT Radio.
They mostly come at night. Mostly.
Welcome to another episode of EMZT Radio. I am Bane Hellborn, and the infamous MJ will be joining us later. Big news update. Calabrese is doing a 4-city tour in November, and that is awesome because we've been waiting all year for this. So be sure to check them out at calabreserock.com for their tour dates. Calabrese will be hitting these cities starting November 16th, Phoenix, Arizona at the Rebel Lounge, November 17th, the Bunkhouse in Las Vegas, November 18th, L.A. at the Airliner, and November 19th in Berkeley. Do check out CalabreseRock.com for the list of tour dates and to get your tickets. And, of course, I can't announce this enough, but Bruce Campbell's book tour starts August 14th, starting in New Jersey. Be sure to pick up a copy of Hail to the Chin and check bruce-campbell.com for the tour list and the cities where he'll be at. He's worth waiting for. I highly recommend it. Do go. And you will have lots of fun. I guarantee it. And now, let's get to some music. It's EMZT Radio.
We'll be right back.
from an article from 1428elm.com, Miguel Nunez Jr. talks adding Part 5 DLC to Friday the 13th, the game. One of the hottest discussions in the Friday the 13th fan community right now is speculation as to whom the game will be adding next. I've personally made multiple lists of characters I'd love to see in the game, but I've long maintained if they could add one of those people, it has to be Demon Winter from Friday the 13th, Part 5, A New Beginning. This is actually a popular opinion among fans, as Demon's name comes up all the time in these discussions. Though his screen time in the film may have been limited, Demon is one of the most beloved characters in the series. That's certainly due to his awesome dialogue, humorous death scene, and amazing portrayal by actor Miguel Nunez Jr. Recently, the Friday the 13th The Game released a picture on social media which seems to be teasing new content. Many fans are speculating that this could mean Friday the 13th Part 5 DLC is coming. Adding Roy Burns from Part 5 seems pretty likely, but what would make that even better would be bringing some more elements from the movie along with him. Adding in the Pinehurst halfway house and its surrounding areas as a new map would be incredible. There are also many, many amazing kills in this movie that should be added in. But you know what would make the whole thing perfect? Putting in the film's standout character Demon Winter as a playable counselor. To get his thoughts on the matter, I reached out to Miguel Nunez Jr. to ask about the Friday the 13th game, putting in content from Part 5. Quote, "Due to the tremendous response of the fans, it would be great to add Part 5 elements to the game," Miguel told me. When asked about reprising the role of Demon, should they put him in the game, Miguel said, quote, "I would be honored to add my voice," end quote. Putting Demon in the game wouldn't be unheard of. The devs have already included a Demon Easter egg in the virtual cabin, a poster on the wall referring to Demon's damn enchiladas. Look, I don't know if they'll end up adding Demon to the game or not. I just know I'd gladly pay full price for the game again if they do. I personally haven't played the game yet, but I'm dying to get in on that. And this is EMZT Radio. We'll be right back. from Variety.com, Munsters reboot in development at NBC with Seth Meyers producing. A reboot of the classic sitcom The Munsters is in the works at NBC, Variety has confirmed. The planned reboot is inspired by the original series and will follow an offbeat family determined to stay true to themselves, struggles to fit in hipster Brooklyn. Jill Kargeman will executive produce and write the script, with Seth Meyers and Mike Shoemaker also executive producing. Universal Television will produce along with Meyers and Shoemaker, Seth Maker Shoemeyers Productions, which is set up with a first-look deal at UTV. The development, The Munsters reboot, keeps Meyers in business with NBC, where he currently hosts the late-night series Late Night with Seth Meyers. In addition, the network recently ordered the Meyers-produced comedy AP Bio to series. Kargeman is repped by ICM, Meyers and Shoemaker are repped by CAA. Meyers is also repped by Brillstein Entertainment Partners. The original series aired for 2 seasons and 70 episodes from 1964 to 1966. It starred Fred Gwynn as Frankenstein's monster father figure, Herman Munster, Yvonne DiCarlo as mom and bride of Frankenstein, Lily Munster, Al Lewis as vampire Grandpa Munster, Beverly Owen and later Pat Priest as their normal teenage niece, Marilyn, and Butch Patrick as the werewolf son, Eddie Munster. This is the latest attempt to reboot the series. In 2012, Brian Fuller produced a pilot called Mockingbird Lane with Jerry O'Connell as Herman, Portia de Rossi as Lily, and Eddie Izzard as Grandpa. It was aired as Halloween special on NBC, with the network ultimately deciding not to order it to series. And what? I'd only be good for this if they choose not to use a family called the Munsters, but a different monster name. It might be better. But if they go to reboot this, the Munsters, oh boy, I don't know. It could be a total flop, or it could be okay. We never know these days. But you know how we feel about reboots. We hate them. And you are listening to EMZT Radio.
You love midnight movies, don't you? But can you handle midnight movies 24 hours a day?
Your death will be indescribable.
Find out on Black Flag TV. The first viral television on the web. Black Flag TV is entirely dedicated to haunting horror, science fiction, and cult movies. Broadcasting live, 24 hours a day, obscure independent movies and classic horror. Make Black Flag TV your sanctuary for the horror genre.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Visit us now, blackflag.tv.
Just released, An Oddball Mountain Town, A Resuscitation Gone Wrong, and more. A Shudder exclusive, The Valley. What is it about small mountain towns? A new vision of murder in an oddball village. This Shudder exclusive is a gorgeous, maybe supernatural mystery not to be missed. New episodes every Thursday. Shudder Summer of Shorts series, Desenterrados. In our weighty summer shorts series, a doctor tries to rescue his daughter from death, but she doesn't return alone. Now the unearthed try to make sense of their strange existence. And soon the darkness. A carefree holiday for two? A holiday soon to go wrong? Up for a little ride in sunny France with a killer stalking you? Don't miss Robert Fosse's stark, chilling 1970s thriller. We know what will make you shudder. Watch these favorites. Cooties, Pulse, The Backwoods, Splinter, Shudder TV. Tune in each week for a new never-ending stream of heart-pounding thrills. Discover this week's 10 unpleasant surprises. Shudder can be found on Apple TV, Apple App, Android App, Roku, Chromecast, Fire TV, and Xbox. Beware, K is for kids who kill. Blood-chilling, children-killing. Say that 5 times fast. As any horror fan knows, some of the creepiest, most psychotic killers in horror history are children and dolls. And children with dolls. And dolls with children. Remember, not all children are innocent. Scream of the Week. Children of the Corn. We can't leave out this Stephen King classic when talking about killer children. If we ever come across a town where the population is adults zero, we'll be sure to run in the opposite direction. In case you missed it, only on Screambox Collection. See what's exclusive to Screambox fans only. Scream over 200-plus titles that aren't on any other major streaming site. Whether you want psychotic killers, banned horror, paranormal haunts, bloodthirsty monsters, or more, we've got it all. Screambox, refer a fiend. Share the scares with your fiends, friends, and foes, and earn unlimited months of free horror. It's terrifyingly easy. New on Screambox, The Orphanage, American Poltergeist, American Beast. Screambox can be found on PS4, PS3, Xbox One, Roku, iPad, Samsung Smart TV, Android app, and Kindle Fire.
Yeah.
From an article from HorrorFreakNews.com, 15 horror movies you won't believe Roger Ebert gave a thumbs up. In 1980, Gene Siskel and Roger Ebert devoted an entire episode of their groundbreaking series, At the Movies, to the perils of horror movies presuppose a relationship between depictions of violence and actual violence against women. In retrospect, the condescendingly titled Women in Danger is a textbook example of mansplaining that clearly put the celebrated critics on the wrong side of cinematic history. The episode gave both men prudish reputations, but while Siskel never shook a perceived air of superiority throughout his career, Ebert proved himself a much more partial analyst than his postulations in Women in Danger would have you believe. Ebert was hardly a genre hater, and the list of horror movies he loved is extensive. So while it may be of little surprise to hear Ebert love Silence of the Lambs, I mean, who didn't? Some of the films he gave his iconic thumbs up to might surprise you. You may even find yourself questioning everything you thought you knew about the Pulitzer Prize winner who passed away in 2013. Ebert called Child's Play 2 sick, unwholesome, and completely malignant. You might be surprised to know he actually liked the first entry in the now iconic franchise that made Chucky famous. Here's what he thought. 3 stars. Quote, Child's Play is far better than the average false alarm movie because it is well made, contains effective performances, and has succeeded in creating a truly malevolent doll. Chucky is one mean SOB. The movie also has an intriguing plot device, which is that nobody, of course, will believe that the doll is alive. Little Andy tries to tell them, but they won't believe him. Then his mom realizes that Chucky is moving and talking, even though his batteries were not included. They won't believe her, end quote. Ebert didn't just like The Descent, he loved it, giving the film 4 stars. Suddenly the man's taste in horror seems pretty solid, no? 4 stars, quote, in an American studio picture, which fortunately The Descent is not, each of the women would be assigned one problem to work through and one related personality characteristic to distinguish her from the others. I'm grateful that The Descent doesn't waste much time on obligatory schematic elements. It just takes the plunge, damn the character development, full speed and into the void, end quote. Candyman has built a tremendous cult following over the years, but it wasn't really celebrated in its time. Roger Ebert was one of the few critics to recognize how progressive this film was at the time of its release. 3 stars. Quote, Bernard Rose is a director who likes stories about supernatural invasions of real life. His brilliant Paper House, 1989, about a young girl whose drawings seem to influence the life of a boy in her feverish dreams, used images of razor-sharp reality to suggest that the dreams were as real as the rest of the movie. Candyman, from Rose's own screenplay, based on Clive Barker's story, does the same thing. We think we'll discover that the Candyman is actually a real, live human being, a killer using the legend as a cover. What we do discover is more frightening and more intriguing. He may literally be a product of the imagination, end quote. I was truly shocked to discover Ebert appreciated Henry. It's not because I didn't love it. I just can't believe a wholesome critic like Ebert would give props to such a gritty and unsettling movie. It's a testament to his ability to recognize great cinema, even when it's ugly to look at. 3.5 stars. Quote, unlike typical slasher movies, Henry does not employ humor, campy in-jokes, or colorful anti-hero. Filmed in the gray slush and wet winter nights of Chicago's back alleys, honky-tonk bars, and drab apartments, it tells of a drifter who kills strangers efficiently and without remorse. The movie contains scenes of heartless and shocking violence committed by characters who seem to lack ordinary feelings of common humanity. End quote. May was such an underground sleeper film, I was surprised to learn that Roger Ebert even saw it, much less loved it. 4 stars. Quote, Angela Bettis makes May peculiar but fully human. There are scenes here of such close observation, of such control of body language, voice, and behavior, evoking such ferocity and obsession that we are reminded of Lady Macbeth. It is as hard to be excellent in horror film as in Shakespeare. Harder, maybe because the audience isn't expecting it. Jeremy Sisto's performance as Adam is carefully calibrated to show an intelligent guy who is intrigued up to a point, then smart enough to prudently back away. He's not one of those horror movie Dumbos who makes stupid mistakes. Notice the look in his eye after he asks her to describe some of the weird stuff that goes on at the animal hospital. And she does, more graphically than he requires. End quote. It's hard to believe that the same man who droned on about women in danger was a fan of Wes Craven's seminal shocker Last House on the Left, but it's true. He saw the film for what it was, brutal, bleak, and powerful. 3.5 stars. Quote, Wes Craven's direction never let us out from under unbearable dramatic tension, except in some silly scenes involving a couple of dumb cops who overact and seriously affect the plot's credibility. The acting is unmannered and natural, I guess. There's no posturing. There's a good ear for dialogue and nuance, and there is evil in this movie. Not bloody escapism or a thrill a minute, but a fully developed sense of the vicious natures of the killers. There is no glory in this violence. End quote. Okay, this one really surprised me. Ebert was a fan of The Devil's Rejects, although he did qualify his positive review. 3 stars. Quote, okay, now listen up, people. I don't want to get any email messages from readers complaining that I gave the movie 3 stars. So they went to it expecting to have a good time, and it was the sickest, most disgusting movie they've ever seen. End quote. Bizarre, transgressive, and disturbing are only a few adjectives commonly used to describe Alejandro Jodorowsky's Santa Sangre. But Ebert gave it a perfect score. If you've never seen the film, the 4-minute trailer will give you a glimpse at the film's depravity. 4 stars. Quote, the first half of the film is filled with Fellini-esque exuberance, celebrating the circus with its tawdry charms and sad clowns. The second half is somber and creepy, as in a scene where Fenix and 4 young men with Down syndrome are taken on a movie outing that ends, not happily, with cocaine and a visit to the red light district. End quote. Everyone loves Silence of the Lambs, but only those with a taste for horror love David Fincher's Seven. 3.5 stars. Quote, Seven is unique in one detail of its construction. It brings the killer on screen with half an hour to go and gives him a speaking role, instead of simply the quarry in a chase. He is revealed as a twisted but articulate antagonist who has devised a horrible plan for concluding his sermon. The actor playing the killer is not identified by name in the ads or opening credits, so I will leave his identity as another of his surprises. Seven is well made in its details and uncompromising in the way it presents the disturbing details of the crimes. It is certainly not for the young or the sensitive. End quote. Roger Ebert was down with the zombie resurgence of the 21st century, even embracing innovations on classic undead tropes like the ability to run. It's also good to see Ebert didn't have a knee-jerk hatred for all remakes. Rather, he kept an open mind. Here's a bit of what he thought about Zack Snyder's Dawn of the Dead, a remake of George A. Romero's film from 1978. 3 stars. Quote, Dawn of the Dead works and it delivers just about what you expect when you buy your ticket. My only complaint is that its plot flatlines compared to the 1979 version, which is trickier, wittier, and smarter. Romero was not above finding parallels between zombies and mall shoppers. In the new version, the mall is just a useful location, although at least there are still a few jokes about the Muzak. End quote. Motel Hell is a pure sleazy fun for horror fans, and even Roger Ebert agrees. 3 stars. Quote, Motel Hell is a welcome change of pace. It's to the Texas Chainsaw Massacre as Airplane is to Airport. It has some great moments, including a duel fought with chainsaws, a hero swinging to the rescue on a meat hook, and Farmer Vincent's dying confession of the shameful secret that he concealed for years. These moments illuminate the movie's basic and not very profound insight, which is that most of the sleazoids would be a lot more fun if they didn't take themselves with such gruesome solemnity. End quote. Wolfen got lost in the flood of more prominent 1980s werewolf movies like American Werewolf in London, The Howling, and The Company of Wolves, but Ebert pegged it as a winner from the get-go. 3.5 stars. Quote, Wolfen develops a strong, angry theme about ecological and human waste. We learn that the wolves make their headquarters in a ruined section of the South Bronx that resembles a bombed-out wasteland. Their original victim, the politician, had just visited there for groundbreaking ceremony, vowing to renew the area. In killing him, the wolves were merely exercising their territorial imperative. End quote. Okay, this one really surprised me. I've always enjoyed Orphan as a guilty pleasure. Sometimes I did enjoy, despite its ridiculous premise and its uncomfortable climax, but Ebert really liked it. He might have liked it even more than I did. 3.5 stars. Quote, Orphan begins like your usual thriller, with scare alerts and false alarms. You know, like a nice, peaceful shot, until suddenly the sound blares and something rushes past the camera, and, hey, it's only kids. We even get the old standby where Kate is looking in the medicine cabinet and closes it, and, oh my God, there's another face in the mirror. But hey, it's only her smiling husband, end quote. I have no idea what Ebert was thinking when he gave this clunker 3.5 stars. Maybe he was a closet NWA fan? Quote, Anaconda is an example of one of the hardest kinds of films to make well, a superior mass audience entertainment. It has the effects and the thrills, but it also has big laughs, quirky dialogue, and a gruesome imagination. You've got to like a film where a lustful couple sneaks out into the dangerous jungle at night, and suddenly the guy whispers, wait, did you hear that? Silence. End quote. I think I like Ebert's summation of 1986's Critters more than the actual movie. 3 stars. Quote, what Critters gives us is a truly ambitious ripoff of not one, but 4 recent science fiction movies. Gremlins, E.T. the Extraterrestrial, The Terminator, and Starman. We get the Critters from Gremlins, and from Starman we get the notion that an alien can assume the outward appearance of a human being. That is a particularly attractive quality for an alien, especially in a low-budget picture, because you can hire an actor and claim he's inhabited by an alien, and you can save a lot of money on special effects. From E.T., there's Dee Wallace Stone, who played Henry Thomas's mother in that film. Here, she is the equally dubious and harried mother of young Scott Grimes, a plucky kid who goes into battle against the invaders, end quote. And you are listening to EMZT Radio. EMZT Radio is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/EMZT. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. For you, the listeners of EMZT Radio Podcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. That's audibletrial.com/EMZT. Just released, A Mystery Deepens, A Killer Calls It Quits, and more. The Valley. The mystery deepens in a second episode of this Shudder-exclusive series. The Wine Queen is dead and our amnesiac has begun his own investigation into the Misty Village. New episodes every Thursday. Shudder Summer of Short Series. Arthur. We conclude our Summer of Short Series with a peculiar guy. Arthur loves breakfast, craft beer, and silence. He's also a serial killer, desperate to quit. Pie. If you're as eager for Darren Aronofsky's latest as we are, revisit his breakthrough debut, The Paranoid Essential, Pie. We know what will make you shudder. Watch these favorites. Afterlife, The Wraith, Frozen, Severance. Shudder TV. Tune in each week for a new, never-ending stream of heart-pounding thrills. Discover this week's 10 unpleasant surprises. Shudder can be found on Apple TV, Apple App, Android App, Roku, Chromecast, Fire TV, and Xbox. And also Shudder.com. Beware, Krampus is coming for you. Better watch out, you better not cry, you better not pout, I'm telling you why. Because Krampus is coming to town. Screambox is celebrating Christmas in the summertime by screaming our favorite Christmas devil. Join in the bloody spirit and see what happens when you're on the naughty list. Scream of the Week. Krampus, the Christmas devil. This weekend, we're cozying up on the couch with Krampus, a.k.a. the evil brother of Saint Nick, punisher of children, performer of unspeakable evil acts without repercussion. In case you missed it, Gorgasm Collection. When horror leaves you sweaty and breathing hard, in case you missed hashtag National Orgasm Day, we've got what you need, and we know what will make you scream. Scream free horror forever! Screambox, refer a fiend. Share the scares with your fiends, friends, and foes, and earn unlimited months of free horror. It's terrifyingly easy. New on Screambox, 6 Survive the Night, Backtrack, Nazi Regression, A Witch Story. Screambox is found on PS4, PS3, Xbox One, Roku, iPad, Samsung Smart TV, Android app, and Kindle Fire. And Screambox.com.
You love midnight movies, don't you? But can you handle midnight movies 24 hours a day?
Your death will be indescribable.
Find out on Black Flag TV. The first viral television on the web. Black Flag TV is entirely dedicated to haunting horror, science fiction, and cult movies. Broadcasting live 24 hours a day, obscure independent movies and classic horror. Make Black Flag TV your sanctuary for the horror genre.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Visit us now, blackflag.tv.
And this wraps up another episode of EMZT Radio. Do stay tuned. Next week, we are having another interview chat with Sarah from the Bitches of Horror. And she's bringing fresh meat. Yes, the word is Xander will be joining us. So that will be very interesting. Remember, CalabreseRock.com for the Calabrese 4 City Tour in November, and Bruce Campbell's book tour starting August 14th in New Jersey. And you can check that out at bruce-campbell.com. And as you know, EMZT can be found at EMZT Radio for Twitter, EMZT Podcast Radio on Facebook. Our station website is emztproductions.us. We also are on Patreon, EMZT Radio. We also have a Podbean page that you can download all our episodes at emztradio.podbean.com. And we have 2 YouTube channels. Do check those out for our little videos. And you can contact us at emztradio@gmail.com. And stay tuned for another episode of EMZT Radio. Hail to the chin, MJ!
Psychos! Movies make psychos more creative!
Bad.